Thankful to be serving a faithful God. Desire your prayers, Lord, to bless His Word. Make it alive to us and open our understanding to it. Many of us have heard. We hear a lot of times this turn into a familiar passage, a familiar scripture, because many of us have been around for a number of years, have heard a lot of these same scriptures and same topics, probably not a whole lot of subjects that a minister could get up that you could say, I've maybe never heard something like that, but yet the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, is able to make it new and alive and refreshing and invigorating to us, and pray this afternoon that the Lord would bless His Word. I'd like to talk about the Lord a little bit. Heard about glorifying Him, and I believe everything that we do should glorify the Lord. Our God is a great God of whom there is no finding out. There's no exhausting Him. There's no getting up and covering the fullness of who God is, or ever being able, songs talk about the love of God. If you could fill the ocean with ink, and if the sky were a parchment made, and every stalk on earth a quill, you can never write the love of God. It's incomprehensible. There's no ending to it. There's no being able to comprehend or fully get to the other side of. It is a river to swim in. But I want to think about this afternoon one particular attribute of God. I'll let you label it what you will, but I think of it as the dependability or the reliability of God. The song that we sang says, "You can depend." Friends may turn away when they're needed, and riches may turn into dust, and life may end just when it is sweetest. But there's one that we can depend on. There's one that we can rely on, that we can know. When I think of something that is dependable, I think of a car, or I think of a piece of equipment or something that I need to be able to know. I want to be able to have some kind of confidence and an assurance. Whenever I go to start the thing, whenever I need it, it's going to be able to perform for me. It's going to be able to function as it's desired. That I don't go and say, oh, it's dead. We were talking about, was it Elijah, as he was up on the mount, and the other false prophets of Baal were calling upon their prophet or their God, and he said, well, maybe cry a little bit loud. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe you're not able to get his attention right now. You know, I'm thankful that's not the kind of God we serve. We serve a dependable God. He's a God that's a 24/7 God. He's a God that any time we need Him, He's there for us. He is unchanging. He is an ever-present help in our time of trouble. I'd like to begin in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the third chapter. 2 Peter 3, stirring up their pure minds by way of remembrance of that which they were already familiar with, that which they already knew and had been taught of and had learned, talking about the coming of the Lord and the last days. And he said that there will be scoffers, that, verse 3, there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. We'll stop there for right now. Those that are under a spirit of unbelief, those that have allowed themselves to be lulled to sleep, that begin to scoff and begin to look and say, I hear you talking about judgment. I heard ever since our fathers fell asleep. In other words, I remember our grandfathers talking about this. I remember those that I saw come and go that thought maybe in their lifetime the Lord would come. And guess what? They're dead and gone now. And it begins to breed a sense or a spirit of complacency. But I want you to look at the reason that they give. For all things from the beginning, all things from the creation continue as they are until now. Do you know whether they realize it or not? That's one of the greatest proofs, I think, of such a mighty God that we serve. That all things continue today as they were from the beginning. that our great God that spoke the world into existence, and the more that you understand of science and of physics and of astronomy and all those things, you realize just how intricate all the way, and it's supposed to testify of God. Science is supposed to testify to the Creator, not science falsely so-called that preaches a humanism, but the more that we look out into God's creation, the heavens declare His handiwork. They testify and they sing of a great and a mighty God, the God that spoke it into existence. You know, He is an author and a finisher. He doesn't do things halfway, but He started something and He set it into motion. He created the orbit of the planets and the stars and the galaxy and all of that that He created by the word of His power. We read the verse this morning, Hebrews 1 and 3, that says He upheld all things by the word of His power. That same word that He said, let there be, do you know He still speaks that into into continuance? That it still continues today the same as it has because of the God that is maintaining it. There was reportedly a Russian atheist came to the United States. He was an astronomer and he made supposedly the statement. It went something like this. Either there is a God or there isn't. And both prospects are terrifying. On the one hand, if there is no God, we're all sitting on an orbit of a planet that's traveling 64,000 miles, hurtling through space around the sun, and there's nobody in charge. On the other hand, if there is a God, that means He created the world, and if He created the world, He has every right to create the rules of what governs this world. You know, there is one that's in charge. There is a God, and how can you deny it? This, read on down here, this are they willingly ignorant of. Really, it's what it is because of the hardness of men's hearts and those that are trying to push for the Big Bang Theory and evolution and all of these things. There is a realization, whether they would acknowledge it or not. If I acknowledge there is a God, I have to reckon to Him. Because there's no way I can put myself, I have to answer to that God. So if I want to live in my rebellion and my sin, and I don't want to come to reckon with God Almighty, I've got to take Him out of the picture somehow. I've got to be able to justify a picture in a world without God. What a bleak existence. What a foolish faith. To have in a ball of dust that created from nothing or evolved from nothing and turned into something. But we serve a God who spoke the word and by, we read down a little further, says verse 7, the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. The same word, that word of His power, that He spoke the creation, the world into existence, that same word He upholds today by that word of power, and it says that it is held in store. Everything is held together. Do you know the revolving, the orbit of the earth and all of those things? It's not just hurtling through space on some random course, but there is a God that holds it all in place at exactly the right distance and orbit, and I very quickly get way over my head in trying to talk about the things that our God has done. But He's able by His word to hold it all together, and He's holding us together. He's holding this world together. If you read down about seeing these things shall be dissolved and melt with a fervent heat. You look into those words and it seems to indicate a loosening of the elements. That the very elements that are held together, that hold this world together, they're held together by something. Yes, we could talk about covalent bonds and ionic bonds and all of that, but really, they're held together by the word of His power. Really, it is God holding them together, holding all of this together, continuing as it was from the beginning. Now, I know that there are cycles and folks look at the weather today and say, oh, we're in a catastrophe now. The climate's changing and all of those kind of things. But you know, there's a God. There's one that rules over all the affairs of man. And one time, he came and presented himself unto a man and said, I want to give you a promise. And it's a bow in the sky. And whenever you look on that, remember this promise that as long as time will stand, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, they'll always continue. They're always going to, it's a promise, standing on the word of his power, continue. So you know this reasoning that men are willingly ignorant by really testifies to a great God. It testifies to a very dependable God. One that is still holding things together today. Even atheists, those that study science and physics and all of that, you know they make assumptions based on God's laws. They're using God's laws. Whenever I was in school, we'd have to do an experiment or something and write the assumptions and all that you... There is one assumption that you just always assume, and it's called gravity. Another is friction. You can always assume that there will be friction. What if things were different tomorrow? What if today there was gravity and tomorrow there wasn't? Or what if today there was a certain force of gravity and tomorrow it changed into something else? And today the earth was on one orbit and then tomorrow it shifted and everything was moving and changing and there was nothing dependable. You understand what I mean? There is a God that spoke things into existence, that created the laws of the universe that still stand today. They're still in place. No matter what man has done to try to define, man has finally come to the place that they just acknowledge these are the laws of the universe, the laws of physics, the laws of gravity, and all. They're always going to be for a reason, because there's a God that'll always be. He holds it together. You know, I'm amazed that you can take a farmer's almanac or I'm on my phone anymore if I want to go hunting or something and I have a certain time limit frame that I can shoot in. I go and ask, what time is sunset going to be? Know the exact minute. And I could go look in a chart in 2054, December 9th, if time still stands, what exact minute will the sun rise? What exact minute will the sun set? By that, astronomers are able to look out into the future and say, the next time that we'll see this kind of eclipse is in such and such year. Because it's all so dependable, so predictable. It's something that you can look at and determine the course of everything, and I can, because it hasn't changed. It's something that's steadfast. It's something, it's what we measure time by. Can you imagine if today 1 hour is one thing and tomorrow 1 hour means something else? If all of a sudden we wouldn't know how to build on anything. We wouldn't know how to have any kind of steadfastness in our life. You know the common theme of all of this is a steadfast, dependable God that created and not, the song says, O thou that changest not, change and decay and all around I see. O thou that changest not, abide with me. We need that God. We need something stable and steadfast to be able to build our lives upon. James 1 says of this God that every good and every perfect gift comes down from him, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. There's no changing. There's no fickleness about God. There's no, well, today he's this way, but I don't really know what he's going to be like tomorrow. I know that's what he was to the children of Israel, but I don't know if God is still today. I know that God used to heal back in the days, and I know that he worked miracles, and I know Jesus healed the blinded eyes and all those, but I don't know if he's still doing that today. This is a God with whom there is no variableness. Neither shadow of turning. There's not the least bit of wavering or being swayed in the wind by this God. I'm thankful for that because we really wouldn't know what to do. If there was a God as fickle as our world today, if there was a God that was as easily swayed and changed of opinion and of thoughts and of ideas and all of that as our world is today. But I like to look at a familiar scripture in the book of Hosea. It says, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, that his going forth is prepared as the morning. Hosea 6:3. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning. And he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain upon the earth. We can look and focus on that, following on to know the Lord, and there's so much in that. May the Lord help every one of us that we follow on, that we strive to follow on to know the Lord in a greater way in our own lives. But I want us to focus on this part. Here's what we're going to learn about the Lord. The attributes of God. As we get to know the Lord, you're going to learn that his going forth, or the ways of his goings, the ways of his conducting himself, the way that the Lord is, and his thoughts and his ideas and the way that he handles things. I thought of it this way. You remember the time in Jacob's life that he was on the run, really, and laid down, used a pillow for a stone. And that night he had a dream or a vision. The heavens were opened up and he saw a ladder that reached from the earth all the way up to heaven. You remember what he saw on the ladder? He saw angels that were descending and ascending on the ladder from the throne of God down to earth. You know, it's a picture to us of the Lord and his interaction, or the Lord's goings forth. Do you know the song number 290? O thou in whose presence. It says, 10,000s of angels. See if I can get it here. He looks, and 10,000 of angels rejoice, and myriads now wait for his word. He speaks, and eternity, filled with his voice, re-echoes the praise of the Lord. You know, we read about angels over and over in the Bible. Messengers of the Lord, or those that are sent from the Lord, those that are sent directly from the presence of the Lord, that I have, Gabriel said, I have a message from the Lord. I am sent from the Lord. He came from the Lord. It was the going forth of the Lord. You read about Daniel. Maybe we'll just turn and read that. Daniel, the 10th chapter. There was a time in Daniel's life and he was seeking the Lord and praying, and he got no answer. You ever been there? Praying and you have a need and you're seeking the Lord and you pray and no answer, and you pray again and no answer, and you keep praying and still no answer. What do we take from that then? The devil whispered in the ears of the disciples when they were on a ship that was rocking to and forth in the sea. We're going to die. You're going to perish. Jesus doesn't care about you anymore. And so they went and asked him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, since when has God changed? Since when is God still not faithful and dependable to us? So Daniel here in his hour of need, as he had sought the Lord, we'll read he had been fasting here for a space of time and seeking the Lord. Verse 10, and behold, a hand touched me of chapter 10 of Daniel, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. For when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. You know, I find comfort and encouragement in this. Daniel was in a place that he felt a desperate need of God. Lord, I need to understand some things here. I need to see some things. And he chastened himself before the Lord. He fasted. He prayed. Wasn't that what Jesus told the disciples to do? There are some things that are not going to come out, but by fasting and prayer, you set yourself to seek the Lord. Daniel did that. And he prayed and he prayed and he sought, and the Lord didn't give him an answer for a while. Read down through here, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. Anyway, he said, I am come to make thee understand. I heard thee from the day that you first set your heart to seek the Lord. And he said, I am sent. Who sent? The Lord sent him from the presence of the Lord. You know, we have this confidence. The scripture says that if we ask anything in his name or according to his will, that he heareth us. We don't have to feel like, as long as our hearts are clear before the Lord, as long as there's not sin, because we see in the Old Testament an example where it said that the Lord, he's not open to your cry because the sky is as brass because of your iniquities. But you know, whenever we're clear before the Lord of all the way, there's not sin in our lives. We have a confidence wherewith we can come to the throne of grace. A boldness that I can come before the Lord. And I don't have to sit and wonder, Lord, did you really hear me? Lord, I haven't seen an answer yet. I haven't gotten the request that I've asked for yet. And the enemy is right there to say, maybe the Lord didn't hear you. Well, maybe the Lord's not there. Maybe this, maybe that. And try to bring doubts and fears and questions. But I want to point us back to a dependable God. I want to point us back to one that's never changed. He said, Daniel, from the first day, don't worry, Daniel, I heard you. The Father heard you and he sent me forth. The goings forth of the Lord. Remember what it said of his eye? His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking those whose heart is perfect towards him, because he wants to show himself strong on their behalf. Oh Lord, I need that. And I need, at times, whenever I start to feel my little boat start to rock, Lord, I need an anchor. I need something steadfast. I need something that'll anchor and hold my faith. I can't build on the sinking sand and expect to have anything stable. Jesus said you do that and the waters are going to come down and your house is going to collapse. But you build on something solid. You build on something steadfast. And it's that faith wherewith we come to the Lord. It's building on that foundation that I come to the Lord. Lord, I know who you are. I've heard the old whisperings of the devil. I hear what he's saying about you, Lord, but I know you better than that. Then shall ye know. If you follow on to know the Lord, that his goings forth are prepared, like we started out talking about. The exact time of the sunrise, we know when it'll be. The exact time of the sunset, the time of the next eclipse. It's faithful. It's steadfast. It doesn't change year after year after year. Thousands of years later, it's still the same today. The sun is still coming up. So you know, until the time that the Lord returns and calls this world into judgment, I don't have to worry, is the sun going to come up in the morning? You ever have long nights? I haven't. I've only faced one that I, well, maybe a couple that I can recall, or one because of pain or sickness of my own body, where I was hurting so bad that I could not sleep all night long. And you look at the clock and you watch it and you pace the floor and you're crying out to the Lord, and you look up and it's 1 o'clock. Oh, I got 5 more hours, 6 more hours till I see the sun coming up again. You pace and you walk and you pray and you cry out and you look at the clock and think, surely it's 5 o'clock, and no, it's 1:15. I've only made it 15 more minutes, and the night just drags on so long. But you can know that the one that you're looking to is goings forth are prepared as the morning. Psalms 30 says, weeping may endure for a night. Psalms 30 verse 5. But joy cometh in the morning. There may be a time of weeping. There may be a period and a space of time. that you got to do some enduring, that you got to do some persevering. There's going to be a trial of our faith where the enemy comes along and the enemy's whispering in one ear. And I begin to maybe question, begin to wonder, and I have to go back and seek the Lord and go back to that foundation. It's so important for us to build on the right foundation. For us to build that we don't go throughout our lives and we get to an age where we ought to be solid and grounded in the faith. But I'm still shaking. I'm still unsettled. Whenever something comes along, it knocks the props out from under me. The Lord wants us to build on our faith, to build a solid foundation on something that is steadfast, unmovable, that'll always be there, that the winds and the waters aren't going to erode out from under you, that it'll still be there. Next generation, it'll still be there. We don't build things today very often that stand the test of time, that stand generation to generation, that I could think two or three generations down, my children will come back to this house. It'll probably be sawdust at that point. But there is something. There is a habitation that is eternal in the heavens. There is a God that has given us something that is sure and steadfast. It's anchored within the veil. And so is goings forth. Prepared as the morning, as the former and the latter rain, or the rain of autumn, the right at the time of planting. Both of the rains were important and necessary for the crops to be able to bear the fruit that they need to bear. You don't get the first rain and the crops aren't going to spring up like they ought to. You get to the end and you don't get the latter rain and they're going to die and wilt right there on the vine before you. But the Lord is the former and the latter rain, as we read in Hosea. We can depend on it. You can count on it. The Lord's not going to start something. He's not going to give you rain in the early part of your life and get you started and get you growing and then forsake you when you get to the latter years of your life. The Lord won't do that. Even to old hair, to old years, I am still God. I'm still with you. The Lord is the author and the finisher of our faith. Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, all the way from start to finish. He is steadfast. So in our times of need, you can depend. We can depend on the strength of our Savior. We can depend and know that our God is steadfast. Our God is unchanging. You know, you contrast that with this old sinful world. So unstable. People are committing suicide and trying to cope through antidepressants and this and that substance and all these things, trying to get through. There's so much that I believe that one place said the earth will stagger and reel to and fro like a drunk man. It seems like that's what we see on every hand around us. It's all unstable, everything, even institutions and beliefs that were at one time thought to be pillars of our country, pillars of our democracy. You see them start to crumble. You're seeing them start to erode and be washed away by the tide of this world. But there is one in the face of all of that. He said, heaven and earth, Jesus of Matthew 24, heaven and earth shall pass away. Even all of this that he created, that's continued all the way this time up until now, the time will come. Because he allows those things to melt with a fervent heat, that they'll fail. Those things, the literal rocks here in this world, they're going to be burned up. They're going to be dissolved, but the word of the Lord shall stand forever. There's something that stands beyond death that'll anchor us all the way through death and through the judgment. Isaiah 40 verse 8, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth. The beauty of it. The glory of man, in other words, man in all of his strength and all of his pomp and all of his glory and splendor rises up for just a little bit of time and then it passes away. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall. People come and people go. But our God, the word of the Lord, you can have all that, but give me Jesus. And that's enough to be able to carry us through. Oh, folks, we can know Him. We can know Him and the power of His resurrection. We can find in our lives, find it to be true over and over and over. Lord, You're still the same. You're still the same. You're unchanged. Your Word is unchanged. Why? We face a hostile world with soul and mind at rest. It's why we are able to stand and say, regardless of what you want to believe, regardless of what you want to call good and calling good evil and evil good, I know on what I stand. I have something that I, call me old fashioned, call me out of the times, call me whatever you want to call me, but I'm going to trust the One whose Word has never failed. I'm going to trust the One who was there at the creation of the world. You're trying to make guesses of what happened millions of years ago, but I'm going to trust the only One that was there when He said, let there be light. I'm going to take His Word. He is unchanging, faithful, steadfast. He is the eternal God from everlasting to everlasting, before the world ever was and long after the world is ever gone. Change and decay and all around I see. O Thou that changest not, abide with me. I'm so thankful this afternoon. I want us to be encouraged and reminded we serve a dependable God. We serve, folks, we don't have to go get behind the wheel, so to speak, and say, I wonder if it's going to work. I've known of folks that have, was just thinking recently of a young lady, a girl, whenever I was a child, I can remember her coming to meetings and she struggled. It seemed like she'd go to the altar and backslide and go to the altar and backslide. I remember one time she had gotten saved. She told someone, well, I'm not going to be able to keep it. I'm not going to be able to hold on to it. Longest I've ever been able to stay saved is 8 days. You know, you've already lost the battle. You don't have to get behind the wheel and wonder, is this going to start for me? Whenever I get, when it's my time of testing, whenever I come my time to die, I wonder if His grace is going to be there for me. I wonder if He'll be able to keep me too. We don't have to wonder. We can believe by faith. We can trust a dependable, reliable God. You pray for me. Amen.